Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, I'm so happy to be back another week and really looking forward to our show today. We have two exciting guests that we're bringing on today, so I'm really excited. Instead of splitting the show up, half real estate, half motivational self-help, we're going to just dig in today and talk about the big island of Hawaii on the west side of Hawaii. So we... Many people are always thinking about moving to Hawaii, and everybody knows they think paradise, I'm going to move. A lot of people give up a lot to move to Hawaii, and I thought today we'd just go over, we dig in and stick to one area of Hawaii, the West Coast, because of the Big Island, because there's so many changes, and every island has its different different weather patterns, different real estate, just everything. So Hawaii is a very unique place in that way. So that's what we're going to go over today. And before I start and get into the show, though, for those of you, we have so many agents and brokers that listen to the show, and as well as sellers and buyers, I'd like to give a brief tribute to Vera Proctor. She's been one of my best friends for over 30 years. In the real estate industry, a lot of you will know her, and later other people that have known her for years, in the real estate industry for over 40 years, just passed away on Easter this past Sunday. I tell you, I really want to give the tribute because was a true icon in our industry. She had amazing faith in God, amazing dedication, and such integrity. She truly, truly always lived by the golden rule. And I've known her. I mean, we talked daily. We were just very, very close, truly my best friend. And I'm going to miss her horribly. I know she's up there and with her husband. But she's a phenomenal example in the real estate industry for the agents and brokers listening, because there's been so many changes in the industry. So many of us work with different companies and different people, and it really is important to work together. And Vera always did. She always just was such a lady and so amazing with what she did. So those of you that know her out there, you know what I'm talking about. So, and as Vera would say, such a sad day and a good day, and Vera would say life goes on, and really taught me a lot that we have to learn to move forward. So we are going to take a real quick break and come right back and introduce our guests and then dig into the Big Island. And this is Natalie Mullinex with Realty Universal Radio. So, thinking of moving to Hawaii, find out about the west side of the Big Island. Today, Kelly Shaw and Debbie Ridge, licensed agents with Koa Realty, will fill us in on interesting facts about the west side of the Big Island, including Kona, Waikoloa, Waimea, some exclusive, non-exclusive neighborhoods, and I love it over there. So different history and more. We're just going to kind of dig in and go over different facts. I know this hour is going to fly by. Kelly serves the entire Hualalua Hawaii real estate market, including Kailua Kona, Kahau, Hualalua, Waimea, Captain Cook, Gold Coast Resorts in Kona. And if you're looking at a map of the Big Island, that's on the west side of the Big Island. And Debbie has a lot to bring to the table, too. She actually had an extremely successful 17-year medical career working as a surgical tech in her home state of Colorado, where she dedicated most of her adult life assisting others. When her family decided to move to Hawaii, she brought along her husband, two daughters, two dogs, two cats, and all the family belongings. So she truly knows what it takes to relocate to Hawaii from the mainland. Her goal is to carry that on to others, whether moving across town or moving 3,000 miles away. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Kelly and Debbie. Hey, thanks for coming on.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. How are you doing? I hear those phones ringing. True real estate agents. I hear those phones ringing in the background. So, that guy, I tell you, we go through this. We can. Sometimes we don't even throw in commercials because it just goes by so fast. And this is really exciting with all this knowing Hawaii. You know, Hawaii. We've done so much real estate in Hawaii, and I tell you, a lot of people that come, they're not familiar with different parts of the islands until they go back and forth. It seems that Hawaii, when I've noticed over the years in traveling, when you meet tourists and people traveling and they say they've been to Hawaii, oh, I love Hawaii, and I always say, how many times have you been to Hawaii? And it always comes up more than most places, like 20 times, 10 times. So, you know, we go there constantly, and many, many people finally decide to move. I want you to tell us both a little bit about yourselves and then dig into the different areas that you serve and what people can expect. Because when you live on island, you just know so much more than what people read even on Google, what they hear from other people. So, Kelly, tell us, what brought you into the with the Big Island, and tell us some of your history.
Well, my family, my grandfather was in the military in the Air Force in Oahu in the 60s. And from that, many of my aunts and uncles have traveled back and forth to the islands over the years. And after surviving cancer in 1995, I decided to make a move to the Big Island.
Oh, no, really? Wow. That's, and where did you move from?
I'm from Long Island, New York.
Wow, what a big switch coming all the way from the East Coast to Hawaii, huh?
It has been.
That's, wow. So did you get into real estate right away or a little bit later? Or tell us about what you
did. It took a couple years. I started as an AmeriCorps volunteer on the island. And that put me into nonprofits, working with families with foster children. And also I managed a domestic shelter locally.
Oh, God
and
bless you.
Thank you. And I decided it would be great to try something different. My family in New York and Connecticut and Florida are all realtors, so they highly suggested I try the business, and once I started, I fell in love.
You're a natural. That's fantastic. Hey, are you on a speakerphone? Because it's good to just talk, because we can hear an echo. It'll just sound better if you just straight on the phone. You're not on a speakerphone, huh? Wow, I sound like an echo. I hear an echo. Okay. Well, that's really exciting. So did you end up, because in Hawaii, I know a lot of us end up on one island and go to another island. Did you start right out on the Big Island when you moved in 95?
Yes. I moved here in 1998. I started in the Big Island and right in Kona, and I've been in Kona ever since. I have a grandmother here and since additional family members, so I love the west coast of Hawaii, and it's home to me.
Wow, I love it, love it. And Debbie, how about you? You've been in. Did you go straight to the west side of the Big Island when you came over?
We did.
Wow.
We did. My husband was transferred with his job, so he originally was transferred to Maui and spent about 3 months there before he was offered a transfer to the Big Island, and then we moved over here, and we've been here ever since.
That's fantastic. And you two stay pretty busy. I see your name all around constantly. So what do you think? What's going on with the markets right now? Are you finding people still pretty busy?
Yeah, our market is really hopping. It's been interesting. The last 6 months, many sellers watched the market moving up, so the price points were really rising very quickly. Right now, they're leveled out a little. Some people have overpriced their homes, so they've reduced prices, and they're getting sold. We're in a busy market now. You know, sellers are excited to move forward to buy up or move off the island or their next venture in life. Some are switching from owning homes to condos or living in a condo, and they decided they prefer a home. And we constantly have people moving here from the mainland to job transfers. Sometimes that's usually more challenging, but just retiring and living their dream of Hawaii.
That's fantastic. When the weather patterns for Hawaii, we've always found, you know, the east side is typically wetter than the west side, and that's why usually the east side of each island is greener than the west side. What do you find when people call you up and they say, we talk to them about price range and what they're looking for? How do you kind of help your clients figure out where to go on the Big Island on the west side?
I always think their lifestyle is important, so they really have to take a look at how they're currently living and what's their desire. You know, we have a lot of rural places that the price point seems fabulous, and that's what attracts people to the Big Island. But once they realize they'll be 90 minutes from the airport for a $200,000 home, they realize, well, that's probably not a good fit for us. Yeah, I focus on their lifestyle and what their needs are, what their medical needs are, what if they'll be working, if they have children in school, and then match what areas would be best for them.
Because a lot of people, some people will know, you know, if you're going into the real high end, they'll know that the specific community, right, when they're going to go into the $20 million areas, like the niche neighborhoods, if you're going into Kalea, you know, different areas, or if they're in a price point of, say, $400,000, $500,000. I mean, it seems like on the west side, you have a little bit of everything, right? You can go all the way from buying a home for, what, $350,000, $400,000 on up, would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Debbie. Where do you focus pretty much? Anywhere on the west side, or?
Yeah, pretty much. Mostly Kona, I prefer, but I've been trying to move some of my business up towards Waikoloa. I really enjoy the area up there, and but yeah, Kona. I've done some work down in the southern area, but I prefer to stay up in the northern area. So South Kona, somewhat around Captain Cook. And closer to home.
That's really good. That's really fantastic.
It's Kona.
Your home is Kona. You're in Kona. That's perfect.
I am.
That's perfect. Well, you know, it's Kailua Kona. It's funny. One time years ago, living on Oahu, I had friends come in from the mainland, and I been in Kailua for years and years on Oahu, and would you believe they booked it? This was back in, I guess it was 1999 or 2000, somewhere around there. They came in and they booked it through a travel agent. This is back when, even though now everybody goes to the internet sites, et cetera, but this is back when people still did use travel agents, and I hope people still do, some people. But they actually, what she did was ended up calling me, and like, she wasn't in the Honolulu airport. She actually was in Kona airport, Kailua Kona airport. Thinking, so they booked her. Can you imagine? They booked her through Kona. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard that happening, but I lived it firsthand. I said, oh my goodness, you're the wrong airport, a different island too.
Sure did.
And yeah,
it happens often. It's amazing.
Does it Really? I was surprised.
Yeah, my dad works at the airport, and he says you'd be shocked. A couple of people a week land at the wrong airport, and they're booked, you know, their stay and everything on the wrong island, and they're at the wrong airport. So it takes, working with a travel agency, and if you're not familiar with that, it's really challenging to figure out.
Don't you think, I think, like, being in real estate, to me, on the islands, I've been in since 1985, and when I moved back in 1999 to Hawaii, I found, like, well, the real estate's pretty much in 50 states. You know, we go by the NAR rules, different rules, contracts, you have to learn state laws, but so much is pretty much the same. You know, the questions to ask after you've been in it for a long time. To me, what was interesting to learn with each island, because I lived on the islands when I was little, but I hadn't, you know, but not as an adult at that time, was to learn about the weather patterns, about what you can get used to, how different certain areas can be when it comes to the moisture, or, you know, if anybody has allergies, if they want dry versus wet. You know, on the mainland, lots of times, you know, we get into areas and you're going to be pretty much, you know, communities, towns are going to be pretty much the same. Do you find a lot of people, I think, on the west side, is there Kaiser or a couple hospitals there, I think, that have come in? People are always looking for health care, too. What's out there?
Oh, there's a new Kaiser facility right here in Kona. And then we have two major hospitals, which is the one in Captain Cook.
Kona Community Hospital.
Yeah, and then the Waimea Hospital, which is North Community, or North Hawaii Community Hospital. So
is Waimea a holistic hospital? Is it was it newer holistic care coming into Waimea?
Not the hospital itself.
Okay.
There's a lot of holistic practices here on the Big Island. Mm-hmm. So, they say this island is called to all the healers, so they come here. So there's many people who learn acupuncture here and practice acupuncture, as well as lots of people do inner healing with massage therapy and tapping, and there's all kinds of modalities.
That's fantastic. It's really good. Because I knew there was a Kaiser, but I'd heard something was opening before that was holistic. More holistic, like where the hospital was going to tie it in. I think it was right outside of, it's somewhere
the
out there.
Fine Mountain. Maybe
is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
There's not an actual site. They're involved with the Waimea Hospital as well, but it's not a holistic, it's still modern medicine there.
Oh, okay. That's interesting to know, because it's really now tell me, the Hilo side, okay, Hilo's completely, the east side's completely different than the west side, but I know they had expanded Saddle Road, so it used to take approximately 3 hours sometimes to get to the other side. Can you still get to the other side now in an hour and a half because of Saddle Road?
Oh, yes.
Easy.
It's usually, you can get to the other side in, an hour.
Okay.
From Kona.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, because I know Saddle Road made a huge difference. I remember going on Saddle Road before they fixed it years back, and I thought, this is too dangerous. I cannot go on it. I'm going to go the other way. But it's different
now. It's no longer dangerous. It's no longer dangerous. It used to be one of the most dangerous roads in the United States. They've really done a lot of, they got rid of all the dips and curves, so now it's a nice highway to drive on.
It's fantastic. I think it cut the driving time down then almost in half, right? Pretty much.
Oh, yes. But Old Saddle Road is still there.
It's what?
The adventure. Old Saddle Road.
Oh, the old one,
if
you want to be risky? But you know that everybody that's local, I mean, I've talked to different people, and it's like they can fly, and it's no problem, you know. So if you're not local, you may want to try out the other one because, if you want to be daring, huh? You can, it's interesting because we've got so much to offer on the Big Island, and it's such a big island, except it's not a lot of, there aren't a lot of people compared to Oahu. You know, I think Oahu is hitting over 1 million people, and I think Big Island's a couple hundred thousand, is that? Not
It's under 200. I believe the latest stats are around 180 or 190.
Amazing.
So, but we really have so many. It's cultural place. Right now, the Mary Marnock Festival begins on Thursday. So there's so much exciting cultural events that happen on the Big Island every year.
That's fantastic. And you also, what about theater? Do they, what on the Big Island? I know on your side, there's a theater.
Yes, we have a wonderful theater in Kanaliu, which is called Aloha Theater. It's a people's theater, so the people in the community kind of run it, and it's all volunteers who put on at least 10 shows a year. Then there's also the Kahulu Theater up in Waimea that brings some mainland attractions there. So we have those two theaters, as well as Honoka'a has a people's theater. That
I love Honoka'a.
Big concert.
Oh, I love it.
Yes.
I love Honoka'a. That area, I just love it. Yeah.
It's Sugarcane Village, which it's really come back. The little village has all kinds of great little shops. There's a fudge shop, a pizzeria, a couple of restaurants, lots of people selling little trinkets. So it's really come back, Honoka'a. Of course, that takes you down to Waipio Valley, which is a sacred valley on the island.
It's one, and that's far, I guess that's not too far from the airport. You know, Kona Airport is who people, everybody flies into. I guess, I see we're going to go up and down the coast a little bit. You've got the Kona Airport. We would go all the way up to the top. I mean, and then Hawi, what do you think about Hawi? That's kind of, the weather patterns there are pretty nice, right? Pretty much.
Yes, it's beautiful up in Hawi, mostly all sunny days, some rain part of the year, but we don't get tons of rain there. And it's very densely populated. It's a sweet little village and beaches, not so much beaches, but cliffs that you could go and watch the whales. It's the best place on the island to do whale watching, as well as wonderful hikes.
Wow. So you have beautiful ocean views that are certain depending on the properties from there, too.
Oh, yes.
Right, and no stoplights. Is that no? I think
no.
No, it's amazing because you can kind of like think, well, this is like living in a town 50 years ago, but still be close to conveniences. You know, kind of really nice. I'm kind of jumping around different areas like Waimea. Tell us a little bit about Waimea.
Waimea is what we consider cowboy country. So a lot of the cowboys are up in Waimea. Our cattle's up there. Parker Ranch is formerly one of the largest ranches in the U.S. It's still one of the largest, but no longer the largest. There's also Hawaii Preparatory Academy. People from all over the world send their children there to go to high school. They do have kindergarten through high school, but it's a fabulous school. There's also Parker School as well. Wonderful shops, galleries. It offers everything. What's nice is the starting price point is about 400 range in Waimea, and then of course you
That's
go
a
on
deal.
Up to a couple million. Yeah.
That's a
so
deal.
There's a wet side of Waimea and a dry side. So more affordable housing is in the wet side of Waimea than the dry side of Waimea. Can offer fabulous ocean views and mountain views. So it's a nice place to live.
I love it. That's just so, it's so, and it's kind of cool up there too. It's not as, doesn't get as hot, does it?
It's very cool.
Is it?
I always have to take a jacket when I go up there.
Isn't that amazing? Because so many people think, well, Hawaii, you know, I love it, even though we don't have seasons, four seasons, the snow, da 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 da. We do have seasons in the sense you can see the differences. You know, you can see, you know, December, January when it rains a little bit more. I know on Oahu, and you may need a jacket, and it's really nice. There's differences everywhere. That's what I love with the islands, the weather patterns, and getting to know the differences that way really make a difference. So what about, like, Gold Coast? So tell us a little about with the Gold Coast resorts. You're so close up on the – if you're on the west side, you're pretty close to them. If people want to go in and have other attractions, and tell us a little bit about how you
– Oh, yes. Our coast is famous for all the golf. now. You know, Kalea is here, Waikoloa Resort, Hualalai, the Four Seasons, Mauna Lani, Mauna Kea. So we have a lot of resorts, and it's interesting because the hotels that many people spent generations going to enjoy their Hawaii vacations now have become owners of properties in the area to have the resort lifestyle more often. You know, years ago people
wow.
might have come to Hawaii twice a year, and now the baby boomers want to live the lifestyle. They don't just want to come visit. So we really have wonderful resort communities that have popped up all over the place. That is attracted to the baby boomers as well as people from all over the world.
It's wonderful. It's just so nice to go into, like, Kalea. I mean, that's a Kalea, and then you've got some exclusive developments where, what, starting prices are $20 million, right? Then you can have, you know, go down from there, or, you know, it's amazing how you just such a variety.
Yes.
And it's interesting to me to find the people that actually come in and it's their second, third, fourth, fifth home. But yet there's affordable budgets where people can come in and start out at $200,000, $300,000, $400,000, you know, if they're going to go into a townhome, right?
Yes.
And still make it work. Hey, Debbie,
yeah.
I wanted to ask, is this Debbie or Kelly?
Talking? This is Debbie.
Who was just talking?
That was Debbie.
Kelly? Okay. Sorry. I think my ear, I'm getting over some colds and things. I just think my ear, I'm trying to go, who's that talking right now? No. Can you both, before we get further, because we're already halfway through the show, it goes by fast. And I'm not going to put any commercial breaks in, if that's okay with you, because I want to cover a lot more.
That's fine.
Are you okay with that? Okay. Can you both give your contact information for our listeners? Because a lot of people listen later and they download our show, so I know I would like to be able to give your phone numbers to contact you and also email addresses.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Kelly Shaw, and the best way to reach me, you can visit my website, which is buyahomeinkona.com, and my phone number is 808-960-4636. What I love is we work for a wonderful little mom-and-pop agency in the heart of Halu'aloha across
wow.
from the world-famous Anaba Hotel, and that's Koa Realty. And it's just a really charming little office which people love to come to. We have First Fridays every month where we offer music and food. We have First Fridays in Halu'aloha, which started about a year ago, and it's really growing. So it's
I
a great little
it.
Community our office is in.
So what's your email too, Kelly? I know they can go on your website too, but I'm just going to put it in your phone number.
Kelly
just to
Shaw
kind of...
at buyahome. Mm-hmm. Kelly Shaw, KellyShaw at buyahome.com, inkona.com.
Great. And then Debbie?
Huh.
You can get your contact information.
Let's see. I also have a website as well, and my website address is Kona Home Finders, so KonaHomeFinder.com, and I can be reached through email at Kona Ridge, my last name, so KonaRidge at gmail.com, and my phone number is 808-464-5536. And this Friday is First Friday up in Honolulu. So anybody should come because it's so much fun up here. We have a great time at our office and in the village. It's wonderful.
So it's First Friday of every month.
It is.
Oh, that's fantastic. There's so many community events constantly going on too, and I know with the Ironman Triathlon, hasn't that been switched gone over there now every year for years? I think.
Yes, it's every October, so it really attracts huge crowds. Usually, at least a month ahead of time, the Ironman triathletes are here training, so our roads are very busy with cyclists as well as people running and swimming. But it's really quite renowned to
wow.
our community.
I love it.
It gives so many people, what I find about Kona is there's so many opportunities to volunteer and really get involved in the community. You know, and it starts with Ironman. It takes the community to put on Ironman, so all our community members love to volunteer for that, as well as golf tournaments, chocolate festivals, charity walks, the Bill Fisher tournament. There's just, our community is a very, very active community.
I love it. It's just so, I have a client over the years and on the Big Island that actually makes it, grows the nani juice, you know, makes the nani, grows it and then sells, converts it to nani juice. I mean, there's so many coffee farms and just, it's so conducive to grow quite a lot in such nature. It's beautiful. The with the Hawaii state bird, I'm trying to think, because is the nini? I think it's the
nini. Yes, the nini. Yeah. And it's often found in the volcano area. You're able to see nini. You rarely find them, but whenever I'm in volcano, there's always a nini to, you know, take photos of.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. You know, I really love one thing I really love that we have on Oahu, but not to me, it's not to say, but the local markets you'll have. Like I know, you know, like on Saturday and Wednesdays, I know Gila does it too, and I guess on your side, I love the local markets that they put up. Debbie, I wanted to ask you, you focus a lot on Kona, right, in Kailua Kona? And you,
correct.
But you're also, because you live in that area and everything. Now, Kailua, you know, the way that there's Kailua on Oahu, Kailua on the Big Island, and that's where you are, in Kailua Kona. And it's kind of like a basin, the way that the word means, water, right, Kailua, Kai, and then Eilua is two, right? So you're kind of going down. It's kind of like a water basin in a way. Is that a good way to describe it, just the way it goes down in the valley into the bay, or no, out to the water?
Correct, yeah. It's very deep here. Like, if you come up, the first road that you get to past the airport is Kaiʻinani, and it's 3.5 miles from the bottom at the Queens Highway up to the top. And in elevation, you go from sea level to 1,700 feet in that 3.5 miles.
Wow.
So it kind of gives you an idea how quickly you gain elevation here. It's either real low or you're up real high.
Yeah, I love the old Queen hotels that they have it mixed in with the newer hotels, you know. Tell us a little bit about what you love about living in Kailua Kona, because that's, you know, it's definitely its own town, and it's has its own history.
You know, I think my favorite thing about living here isn't even the weather. I think after spending my entire life in Colorado, which is a beautiful state, I've lived in the two best states that you could ask for, but I love the sense of security here. You feel like everyone in the town is a small town, you know, so you know most of the people, and you just feel a sense of security and safety and home here that you don't feel, I didn't feel on the mainland so much, as a comfort level. You know, and obviously the weather's great. Everyone you meet is friendly and helpful. And, you know, coming here, when we came here and knowing no one was intimidating. And
I can imagine.
It's just been great. It's been welcoming, and I've made so many friends that I can't imagine, you know, going back and being without them now. I'm just so comfortable here. So, you know, that's probably my favorite thing, to be honest with you, is just the feeling that you get of family and security and fitting in.
So somebody comes into Kailua, I mean, to Kona Airport, it's about, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, not that far. When I go down, right, it's not that far, not too far from the airport, pretty much, right?
To downtown.
When you, to go downtown. So price ranges, what are the price ranges?
Single-family homes, you would be looking anywhere from, I mean, you can still find things that are under 400, but the average is going to be in the 5s to 6s. And you can find condos, you know, anywhere from 200,000 or less on up to in the millions. I mean, there's a variety. There's something for everyone.
Wow. That's fantastic. Also with Kona, like, do you find, I know on Oahu we have a lot of military come in, And then I'm wondering if you find a lot of retired military coming in over there because of course, we have four bases on Oahu. So do you find a lot of people still buying once they retire and coming back? We do see that on Oahu a lot.
I find people who have left, not so much the military. We do have a couple of families that have come back from the military, moved back home. But what we find often is people who had to move away from the islands to work. You know, they went to college and stuff sometimes on the mainland and couldn't find jobs in Hawaii, so they stayed on the mainland. And once they're ready to retire, they're really waiting their whole lives to get back to the islands. And being our islands the most affordable, many of those folks wind up on the Big Island and buy here so they could, you know, be where they were raised. That's a more common buyer.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Tell us, a lot of people nowadays in today's world are so blessed to be able to work from home because of the internet. So where you have people where they couldn't have afforded to, you know, been able to afford to move to, you know, away and give up their careers or businesses or whatever, on the islands, if there's internet, many people can do this. So would you say that pretty much the areas we're talking about on the West Coast, that most people can pretty much get high-speed internet anywhere?
The majority of the island, yes. Sometimes if you're getting deep into the coffee fields and coffee farms of Mauka, it could be challenging. However, the majority of the properties we've been discussing all have high-speed internet, so it's not an issue.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. We get, now, if we go down for Kona, we're going down. We go all the way down. I remember I've had listings before down by Captain Cook. One in particular, the family had to take it off, but they would still sell. It's like 300 and some acres. And I remember it's down on the 94th mile marker. It literally, if you're driving down from the airport, it takes about 30, 40 miles. I can't remember. It's like the 94 mile marker. So it takes you a little bit, 30 minutes, 40 minutes to get down there approximately. And it's right below Captain Cook. It's all oceanfront, that used to be years ago. I think in the 90s they could get 5-acre lots. Now they lost the zoning. They'd have to go back in and reapply for zoning. So when you go down, but I just remember the neat thing to me from being used to also being on the mainland and doing development over the years is that the Big Island's a lot more rock than Oahu. So I remember with that particular parcel, it was all lava rock, you know, and Oahu, of course, we have more dirt, you know, just because of the, you know, the age and the topography. And if somebody wanted to put in well water there because they needed to do well, there wasn't public water, they would have to drill wells at the cost of like $100 a foot. On the mainland, you know, a well may have been $8 a foot, just to give you an example. That was 10 times more to put the well in there. I'm just mentioning this, just the different trivial facts and things like that, because sometimes people are thinking they'll come over and buy and build, and that may be very different on other sides of the island, but we think of, you know, the lava, the rock, the Big Island just keeps going, you know. We still have the volcanoes erupting, right? So
that's
Captain Cook, I'm trying to go on down the map, you know, if somebody's looking at the map. Captain Cook, I said that the famous British explorer, Captain James Cook, died on the Big Island during the struggle with the natives, and it back in 1779. I think it's interesting when you go back in history and see what happened. And now it's a favorite destination, right? The bay, Kalaeliakou Bay, is down there.
Kalaeliakou Bay, famous for
sailing. That's wonderful. Tell me a little bit about both of you about Captain Cook, because that's an area that, now I remember way back, I can't remember when I had a listing there years ago that didn't have high-speed internet, which I'm sure has changed now. But tell me a little bit about, because that wasn't too far from the airport, but it was still far from going to a 7-Eleven, for example.
Right. Captain Cook is a great area. You're close to the hospital, as well as there's so many coffee farms. Hokulea is right near Captain Cook. It's right in the area. There's some beaches that you could get to, Hokena Beach, as well as Mililihi is the most affordable part of Captain Cook. And that's small lots starting right now in the price point, probably about 25,000 for a lot in Mililihi, but you
Amazing.
Really feel like you've landed on the moon. It's all lava rock.
Really?
You live,
really?
Yes, so. You live on catchment water. So it's very different, and the lifestyle is very simple. And then there's Kona Paradise that attracts many baby boomers because they have their own little pebble beach at the bottom, and there are single-family homes on 7,500 square feet lots, and the starting point there is about 400,000. So it's a nice, affordable option, and most of the homes have fabulous ocean views. So that's what they love there. But, of course, we talk about the steepness of hills going down into Kona Paradise. It's a very steep hill. So that's always the most shocking thing for people when you're showing property. Most people haven't seen such quick going down to the ocean, and the steepness of our island is amazing sometimes. But there's so many affordable options in Captain Cook. What I find most people moving to Captain Cook are the farmers who want to have a coffee farm and live off the land and create many bed and breakfasts exist out there. So it's just a really different community. It's farm to table sort of thing. People love their land. It's a lot more soil in the coffee land of Captain Cook, which is beautiful. There's also shops that you can go shopping in, post office, grocery store. So it's a nice little community.
That's wonderful. That's I just love it. It's just so interesting when it gets to when you get to the island. You know, we're so used to like geckos. We're used to all the windows being open, you know, things just being really having bugs come in and out, and it's kind of something you get used to on the islands where the mainlanders aren't always as used to these things. Do you think it's a good idea for somebody to come in and maybe rent for a month or 6 months if possible before making the big move? Both of you, what's your opinion on that?
You know, when I talk to people about their lifestyle and it sounds like there could be some challenges that lie ahead, I recommend renting for the first 6 months to a year to make sure they're going to adapt to our community.
The important people who adapt to our community, I think, are people on a low budget
or very close to their family, and they don't have the funds to travel back and forth as much as possible. You know, I have many dear friends and clients who adore their grandchildren and go home to the mainland about four times a year. You know, any
right.
major
Let
holiday they
want to
be with their grandchildren. Yeah, so if you have that ability, the transition is pretty easy. However, if you're really connected to your family and will not have means to travel back and forth, it's a little bit more challenging. So people like that, I usually recommend try it by renting for a while and see if you really like our community. And I've had people call me up 6 months later, thank you, you know, we loved our six-month vacation and we're going home.
Right,
you know,
because it's really,
so
it's a very, we, that makes sense, because it's a very different world. We have Hawaii, it's just so different, so unique, but very different, you know, and that's fantastic. There is so much to cover that there's no way we're going to be able to cover everything, because we only have about 15 minutes left. I'm so thrilled to have you both on today and go through. I want to bring up one subject that everybody, now it's in our seller's disclosures for the whole state of Hawaii, but a lot of people don't really talk about it. I want to bring up, and Deb, I want to ask your opinion first, just because you're in Kona, of what's going on with the VOG. Now, when I preface this, we have agents, brokers that will be listening always, and then sellers and buyers. We, as agents and brokers, can't get into, we have to direct you to, for example, you know, to speak to your accountant, to speak to your attorney, to contact police department, contact the schools. You know, we can't really give you our opinions on certain things because we need to facilitate and give you the information and direct you to where to find the information. When it comes to VOG, VOG is on the islands and it's coming, it gets to every island. We noticed in about 2007, 2008, when the veins broke open, it started spewing out more than it had in quite a long time. And nobody knows when it's going to stop, if it's going to stop. So it's a full disclosure, and I'm glad it is, because we need people to know what is going on, what it is. It's sulfur dioxide, what else, what it can do to, you know, your lungs, your health, et cetera. Some people get more irritated by it than others. There's different parts of the islands that hardly get it at all based on trade winds. I know on Oahu, if we have Kona winds and it's still not the trade winds, we do seem to get it more. But I want to ask Debbie, because we had talked about it briefly, and you were from Colorado originally, and when I mentioned it, you kind of said, oh, it's not a big deal. Tell us your take on it.
Well, you know, the fog is caused from the volcano and the sulfur dioxide, and, you know, it appears around the island. It sort of looks like, if you've never been here before, kind of like storm clouds, I guess you could describe it, or a white, hazy. I mean, there's days that we don't really even see much blue sky if it's real foggy. But it, to me, you know, versus the pollutants that are in the air on the mainland, I kind of look at it that way. You know, it's like, well, at least this is coming from, I know where it's coming from, I know what's in it, and versus not knowing what's in it. You know, we have really good days where it rains, and it takes away the fog, and it's clear and beautiful, and we have fog-free days for quite a while after that. Or if it's windy, there's parts of the island on the west side, you know, it blows over from the other side.
Right.
But where we'll have days where there's no fog. You know, it'll completely blow away the further north you get. There's very little. Up in the Hawaii area, Waikoloa, which, you know, it's more of a windy spot in those areas, but you don't get near as much fog up there. Kona's kind of in the middle for that, in my opinion. I think a little bit further south, you may have a little bit more foggy days from it coming over Mauna Loa and kind of settling down in Captain Cook area. But sometimes, you know, I kind of wonder, is it really the fog, or is it just, you know, that we can blame it on the fog?
No, and Debbie, you find it like, because we as brokers and agents, we really have to disclaim, and we have to tell people, you know, you want to investigate this yourself, because I don't want to say
Absolutely. We
don't get it here, and then all of a sudden you get it and you think, hey, Natalie didn't tell me the truth, and so of course I would tell you the truth. So we have to really make sure that they, you know, that make sure that they check it out, right? It's kind of a
Oh, sure, and you know, there's really no telling people we don't get it because they can see it. You know, I think.
Yeah.
We would always disclose that, and
exactly.
You know, most people
are
on the island.
Yeah, it's just hard to see what's going to happen with it, you know, because we don't know. We don't know what's going to, how long it's going to keep going. You know, there's no way to know.
No.
It's just, I think it's important, because if there wasn't any fog, oh my gosh, we would have the best weather in the world. I think truly. Because it's
think
the
so
only
too.
Part of the weather I can think of that goes, well, because, you know, rain, sunshine, a little cold, it's wonderful. I mean, it's just a nice variety because it doesn't get too cold. I mean, you can go way up, you know, and find it. But, yeah, so that's the other thing I wanted to bring up was the vacation rentals. We have in the whole state, we have a lot of places that are zoned for vacation rentals, and then we have places that are not zoned for vacation rentals. And, of course, we can't sell anything stating, you know, that it's a vacation rental if it's not legally zoned. We have to, you know, disclose. But many, many people still do vacation rentals and just pay their GET tax. And I know I've heard there's some changes on the Big Island where they can actually, or and even Maui, I think, where they can file for permits. I'm not where they can, you know, file to get a permit to do the vacation rental even in different areas. So there's been a lot of changes and going on with that. But
that's
do you find a lot of
big
people?
Buzz right here. Our rental market is very challenged at the moment. We don't have enough rentals. And in the last 5 years, there's over 1,000 homes that have turned from regular residential rentals, long-term rentals, to vacation rentals, and it's a lot more profitable for some property owners to do it that way. So zoning right now, a lot of those homes are zoned residential, and the county, of course, is looking into what they can do. I don't believe there are some things that they have not changed zoning. They're just trying to figure out how to tax these property owners correctly, because really they're running a business out of their home.
Right. So they're actually going to be able to do it then. How they figure it out? Because I know we had On Oahu, there were a lot of places where they just shut it down, and even on Maui, shut it down. And it's just a big, you know, so many people say, well, I'm vacationing on my home. I'm selling it. I do it, you know, so many. It's like, well, we can't, if it's not zoned that way, we can't sell it that way, right? We have to be careful. But so it's interesting to see that. I think a lot of GET money comes in too, general excise tax, that, and it's to the state and county's benefits to try to make it available. I know years back a lot of the hotels didn't want it because they were losing revenue, you know, but it looks like hopefully it can be a win-win and come back, because a lot of people buying, I mean, gosh, if you can buy and you aren't going to live on the island permanently, it's fantastic if you can get revenue from vacation rentals, you know, a lot higher revenue than just a regular long-term rental in most cases, you know. So I think that's really interesting. Well, we have like 10 minutes left, so I'm going to turn over. Are there any facts, any things you both want to put out there that we haven't discussed? Because there's just so much to go over. We could do a three-day workshop on this alone.
Right. I think a few things that we didn't talk much on is the medical care. So when you live on an outer island, the medical care can be the thing that's the challenge. So people who are in good health, it's usually not an issue. We have plenty of regular doctors. We do have hospitals as well. But if you need specialists on a regular basis, probably our island's not the best place to be unless you do your research to find out if you can have your medical needs met. That's the biggest thing I find is so many people have
that's
to move
great,
away
awesome.
From our island.
Aww.
Yeah, so that's, you know, it's unfortunate. It's fabulous to live on an island with such a small population. But with mm-hmm. small populations, specialists don't have enough patients to see, so we don't have a lot of specialists on our island. We do have fabulous doctors, though, but they don't specialize, you know, in neurology or specific things. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest thing. You know, a lot of our residents travel to Oahu for their medical care.
I hear that. We come over for medical and shopping. It's funny.
That's,
you know,
the truth. That's the truth.
It is, really. And I'm like, oh, gosh, if I really want to shop, I have to go to the mainland. But that's, you know, it's just funny. It's that's true. It's
yeah, so that's
well.
The biggest thing. And then lifestyle. I mean, the Big Island really offers so much to do with your lifestyle. If you enjoy theater, there's wonderful theater groups to be part of. There's paddle clubs to be part of. There's golfing, there's tennis, you know, people really enjoy the outdoors. It's great to really be active and involved, and that's what our island has to offer.
I love it. It's, and Hawaii, really, we're supposed to say Hawaii, but we always say Hawaii, or a lot of us do, and the double V's. It's interesting that with the alphabet in Hawaii, you know, we only have 13 letters? Five normal vowels, and then we have eight consonants. And I always tell people say, how do you figure out how to pronounce it if they're not from the islands? And, you know, to me it looks like we just take the two letters as a syllable, like Kailua, you know, instead of, and different, and break it down. And it gets pretty easy to understand how it works once you're on island. Hey Deb, did you want to say anything, too? Did you want to bring anything else up? It's been so interesting.
You know, it's just a great place to be if you take the time to see everything around you and take it all in, you know. Enjoy people here and you know, get to know the island and respect it. That's the biggest thing. I love the diversity here and mm-hmm. all the different climates and the fact that you can go to the top of Mauna Kea at times and play in the snow and then come down and play on the beach.
That's wonderful.
It's just a very diverse, wonderful place to be.
It's wonderful. So let's get your contact information one more time before we get ready to sign off. Your website and numbers would be great.
Okay, mine is Debbie Ridd, and I'm with Koa Realty in Hualualoa. And my website is Kona Home Finder, and my email address is konaridge@gmail.com, and my phone number is 808-464-5536.
And you could reach me, Kelly Shaw, at www.buyahomeinkona.com. best contact phone number is 808-960-4636, and my email is kellyshaw@buyahomeincona.com.
Wow, that's great. That's wonderful. Thank you both so much for coming on today. We'll have to do this again. It goes by so fast. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to have questions, which they can also email to radio@realtyuniversal.com, and we will also forward Kelly's and Debbie's information, too, if you still need it, after listening to and want to we'll get the information to you. It's interesting because with Hawaii, though, there's so much history, and we didn't have time to go over all the deep history today. I mean, Google is wonderful. You know, the search engines for looking at the history, and you can learn the ukulele, you can learn the Hawaiian dance, the hula. Go to do the huki lau. I remember doing the huki lau when I was 8 years old, coming over on the SS Lure Line from California to Hawaii. That's when I first came to Hawaii as a child and learning those dances. And when we came, I remember they don't do it anymore. But we used to go and back then they could. Now with environmentalists and lawsuits and our world's changed drastically. The things we used to do that were a lot of fun years ago, we can't do anymore. And not always because they don't want us to do them, because somebody's going to sue you, somebody's going to get hurt, you know. But back then, the SS Lure Line came in, the ships would come in, and I was 8 years old, so I'm dating myself because they'd come into Aloha Tower, and I'll never forget coming in, and the women were, of course, doing the dances, and the men, cute little men, they looked like Tarzan men with their little bathing suit on, diving down for money, and you'd throw monies across over the ship, and they would dive down and bring the money up. And I guess now it's too risky, but that was my first entrance into the islands. And a lot of that tradition that we don't get to see daily is still around, you know, and you can learn and get into it when you're on islands, and take back some of the Hawaiian history with you, or learn to incorporate it into your life, which I think is really, really true and beautiful. And aloha means many things. A lot of people think it just means hello and goodbye, but it includes love, affection, compassion, mercy, sympathy, pity, kindness, sentiment, grace, charity, greeting, salutation, regards, sweetheart, lover, loved one, to love, to be fond of, and many, many more things. And a lot of us on the island say, hey, you know, let's show each other more aloha. And so there's a lot of history there. So I just want to thank you both so much for coming on, and again, we'll have to do this again, and I appreciate it.
And that would be fabulous. Thank you so much for the invite.
Thank you, Natalie.
You're welcome. So to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Aloha. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter @RealtyUniversal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.